How comforting that is, how hopeful, huh? Those last words, I am with you always and even to the end of the age, the last words of Christ as he was ascending to the Father. You know, I was reading something the other day and something struck me. You know, those things that jump out at you when you're reading or listening to something. It was one of the saints, I think it might have been Teresa of Avila, great Carmelite, a doctor of the church, mystic. And she was telling her sisters that it isn't so much in speaking to our Lord, telling him what he can do for you. It is appropriate, according to our Catholic faith, based on the scriptures and going out and making disciples, so to speak, to say instead, what will you do through me? There's a whole different energy, if you will. What are you going to do for me? What can I do for you? The devil said, non serviam, I will not serve. Our Blessed Mother said, fiat, thy will be done. The canonized saints that we celebrate throughout the church year were people who did just that. They asked the Lord to give them an increase of grace to be worked through. He can work through them to influence the community, the church. I came across something in a commentary. Our lives may be the only book, the gospel, open for people to read. What we are speaks more loudly than either what we say or what we do. He is counting on us. Our prayer is that he will new within us the work of the Holy Spirit so that we may know what is true and have the strength to do what is right. That's really our mission, God working through us and give us the grace to know to do what is right in a world that is saying that right means different things to different people. We have, because of the sensibility of the Passion, Death, Resurrection, Ascension, and coming of the Holy Spirit in our own baptisms, a sensibility about the Holy Spirit. That good word that we hear, that emotion that we feel, that leads us to something like teaching, preaching, healing. It's parenthood, but it's discipleship. To give to others what we've received, to stay away from the meanness and the jadedness that goes on in our culture. What will he do through us when we open up our will to him? You know, it reminds me of that great tome, Fyodor Dostoevsky, in Crime and Punishment. There's a pithy scene. Raskolnikov, who was quite a rascal. The police are after him because he's accused of murder, at the most, and at least stealing bread to feed children that he saw that were starving in the streets. He comes to someone who's called in the book the Saintly Sonia. She's very pious, she's very gentle, she's very humble, she's very prayerful. She's had a rough life. Her parents died, leaving her with a slew of brothers and sisters to take care of. She was something of a washerwoman, if you will, living hand to mouth, and sacrificing even her meals, let alone her youth, so that her brothers and sisters may survive. Raskolnikov, who's always been attracted to her and is intrigued by her piety and self-sacrifice, he that is so jaded, said to her something like, "You believe in this God, Sonia?" She says, "Oh yes, I believe in God." "And what has God ever done for you?" Raskolnikov asks. And in the book, I can't do it justice, the saintly Sonia blushes. She lowers her head. She closes her eyes and takes a breath, and she looks at him with this conviction in her eyes and says, "God, God does everything. God has already done everything for us and will continue to do for us that which we need. Everything's already been done for us. It's just a matter of aligning our will to his." So we have 4,000 years of getting ready for this incarnation, the nativity of our Savior. We go on through his life, his death, again, his passion, death, and resurrection. Then he ascends after his resurrection, giving us a mandate to go out and teach. And he specifies what that teaching is to mean. It's understood that it's a moral stance because baptism keeps morality alive. But it's to teach, it's to preach in our actions as well as our words, and to heal. That has everything to do with relationships that we have with the world. to teach instead of being taught. Oh, we are taught appropriately in our schools and in our families, but what are we being taught that's going on in the world when you look at the news or enter into the internet? Sometimes the meanness of people, the crimes that go on, the willingness to believe any fad or rumor that comes along and so on, it really influences us. So we've got to have a core in our Catholic faith of what sustains us. And what sustains us, especially as you well know, is the Eucharistic sacrifice. But here's the rub. We can't just come in here after a week, whatever we've been through, and expect to make that connection where we feel inspired, where we feel hopeful, comforted, where we feel even zeal, where it hits me, where my life is. I have an inner illumination, something I should do, something I shouldn't have done, go to confession. Someone hurt me or harmed me. I can't get over it. Either they betrayed me or I am tempted to betray them, the whole ballywick of what goes on. And so we're constantly tempted. Sometimes it's the whisperings of the devil. Sometimes it's our own self-will, which is why the Our Father is so important in the Sermon on the Mount. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the things that we have to remember that God has done everything in sending us the Holy Spirit, and then we have him in baptism, is that there are ages upon ages, century upon centuries, where that Holy Spirit once more impacts us. We have this Holy Spirit inside of us because of baptism. It's supposed to give us the eyes of faith, to look out in the world and see what needs to be done, to be convicted, meaning to take a stand, according to Thomas Aquinas. And so we experience God in what the Church teaches through the Scripture, through the deposit of faith, through the teachings of the Magisterium, and through the teachings of everyday life. Those four things, through the Scriptures, through the Magisterium, through the teachings of the Church, the councils that come down to us over centuries that mostly answer heresy, and then our ordinary life where we experience God in some way. Now, I would just point you to how we look to different centuries. When you're aware of the communion of saints, when you read the fathers of the Church, whenever you look at how big and large God manifests himself in this huge world, where it's constantly impacting us with the Holy Spirit that says, come to me. And we come to him, and then he says, go forth. He sends us out to give to others the greatness that we've received here. But you know, we've got to be praying through our week so that we come here to be filled up. When we stay away, we run low on sacramental grace. I think of the 12th century, for instance. All of them are very rich, and how after the Ascension and Pentecost and baptism and going out, that the Holy Spirit continues to come down as well as compel us up from inside of us because of our baptism with great saints, many of them uneducated, not particularly bright, some brilliant, some coming from wealth and aristocracy, some coming from nothing. But somehow or another, people were used and formed and paid attention to that voice of the Holy Spirit, knowing the Gospels, if they couldn't read, hearing them, constantly praying in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, being faithful to Holy Communion, to Mass, and God would form them to be instruments of taking and knowing what the Church teaches, what the Magisterium says, what our teaching is in the Church. I should know the teachings, have our catechism, go to the classes that are available in my own personal experience of God. I think of the 12th century, such so rich in God forming people, reminding them that he's with us always, and go out and give to others what you've received. It goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The 12th century. In the 12th century, you have St. Francis of Assisi being raised up. You have St. Dominic, who attracted friars from the aristocracy because their job as Dominicans was to confront heresy. It was their job then, the order of preachers. It's their job now, and they're faithful to it. And speaking of Dominicans, you have St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest philosopher that has ever existed. Along with him, you have St. Bonaventure, Franciscan, and Blessed Duns Scotus, a Scottish Franciscan who had much to do with bringing about the cult of the veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then you have, of all things in the 12th century, St. Clare, who also, as a young girl, gave up everything, wealth, beautiful young woman, to follow the spirit of Francis, which is the spirit of the gospel, and people who, looking at her, were drawn to give up that which was shallow so they could develop some depth. And then you have the rosary being given, again, to St. Dominic. Talked about it last week at the two earlier masses, to pray the rosary daily. That was in the 12th century, and it continues to grow in its power into our day. The Blessed Mother and all of her apparitions all over the world are begging and pleading for people to say the daily rosary. It is the weapon against the devil and the darkness that is going on in our world, and perhaps even in our own lives, and the confusion that happens, the temptations that we have. There is nothing that cannot be accomplished. Even the laws of nature can be suspended for those who pray the daily rosary devoutly, meditating on the mysteries of the rosary, praying the Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Glory Be. It's a completely scriptural prayer. Last week, I listed the 15 promises that the Blessed Mother gave to those who devoutly pray the rosary. I won't go into them now for the sake of time. You can look them up on your own, please. The 15 promises of those who pray the rosary. One of the things that she says is those who suffer from vice will be healed of that. And those who are fearful of death, she will come to them, not only during their life, but at the hour of their death. These are one of the things that throughout history, the church prior to the Second Vatican Council, Catholics knew this was part of their faith. This is what helped us to have hope. This reminded us that God is with us even until the end of the age. But sometimes things are forgotten or neglected, and people know what the rosary is, but don't pray it or know much about it. It means a wreath of roses to the Blessed Mother that pleases the Trinity. St. Louis de Montfort said in The Secret of the Rosary, even to hold the rosary in your hand is like holding the hand of the Blessed Mother. No wonder Padre Pio never let the rosary out of his hand. But wait, there's more in the 12th century. St. Simon Stock. St. Simon Stock, in about 1254, another Dominican, had an apparition of Our Lady. And in that apparition, she gave to him the revelation of the scapular. You know, a lot of religious, like the Carmelites, the Trappists, and others, wear a religious habit. You may notice in their habit, especially the Carmelites, they have what is called a scapular. Like this is called a scapular, which means shoulders. In some religious communities, the scapular is a separate piece of garment that goes down the front to the floor, as well as it goes down the back. In the scriptures, it's called the yoke of salvation. The capucci, the capuce that we wear in our habit that has the hood on it, is called just that. It's a shelter in time of temptation, a reminder that we put on Christ, we put on the new man and take off the new. Everything has meaning in the Catholic Church, our signs and symbols. If it doesn't, it doesn't last the test of time. She promises that anyone who wears this devoutly, you see, this is what people knew prior to the Second Vatican Council. And the bishops have asked us to reintroduce and teach again these touchstones that were part of Catholic life up until 60 years ago. Oh, it was extended in a lot of places. People know about it, but it's not preached and taught. And yet it's part of our identity, the rosary and the scapular. And so it's like a brief yoke around us. And they can come very small, but one wears it always. As a matter of fact, there is a partial indulgence that you can apply to the holy souls in purgatory to take the scapular that you are wearing, which should be blessed by a priest, to kiss it devoutly, thanking God for his mercy, and for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I say that again. You take this touchstone of holiness, reminding us of our identity outwardly, that is something that is happening on inwardly. This scapular that we wear over our shoulders, if you will, wear over ourselves, is a reminder that I belong to Christ. The body is holy. It's meant for everlasting life. It's not meant for just one's own pleasure or whatever we feel like doing. This is a sign of commitment to my baptisms. This is a sign of my devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. To kiss it and thank the Lord with the gift of the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Mother is 500 days that you can apply to the holy souls in purgatory. A lot of people don't know about the rosary. A lot of people don't know about the scapular especially, and yet it's part of our legacy. This is how God does everything. He gives us these signal graces, not only in the sacraments, they in themselves are sufficient, those channels of grace, where particularly the inside of us, the person, the soul inside of us is fed and touched with great grace to be used as an instrument. But when we walk out of here, we carry the Holy Spirit around in us, and after we've received Holy Communion, the Church preaches that we are a tabernacle for about 15 minutes until the Eucharist begins to be dissolved. You ever hear that? We learned that in the second grade in my day. You don't hear it today. Consequently, people don't stay after Mass much anymore and give a few minutes of quiet, thanking God and the tabernacle for the Christ that you're holding. People get in their cars. Why not? We are not aware that we are full of holiness itself. God incarnate is inside of us, affecting our souls. When we got into a car, you didn't talk. When you went home for a while, you were silent. That was a Catholic home. Why? Because you were a Christ bearer. And if you might forget, you had the rosary in your pocket. I remind you, Knights of Columbus, part of our degree is to do that, carry it and say it daily. But you also had a scapular on you. And you would pick it up, and you would look at it, and you would kiss it devoutly, thanking God for God, thanking the Father for Jesus and the Holy Spirit, thanking God for who is in us, who compels us to go out of ourselves and bring to others what we've received. Grace in the midst of gracelessness. And again, just to kiss it, that's an act of devotion. Just like I might think about someone that I like or love and wish them well, wonder how they're doing. I call them to mind, like I call them to a memory or memories that we share. Well, we can forget situations in our life, but we're called to be a remembering people. Remember, remember, remember that God does everything. He is here with us and for us. He is our hope. He will not leave us. He's always with us until the end of the age. And so these devotionals, if you will, these sacramentals, and they're called a sacramental because they lead us to the sacraments. And when I go out, they are an outward sign to others who see me. In particular, I am a Catholic, and I act appropriately of what a Catholic does, which means a moral stance, places that I go, how I talk, the people I'm with, how I dress. It's all about extending the presence of Christ in the world. Remember, the definition of the Catholic Church is the extension of Jesus Christ in time and space. That's you, that's me, that's us. We gather when so many people don't gather for whatever reason. That hurts the Lord. The word, it's St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 17th century was told by Jesus in the Sacred Heart, another story to be told another time, that mankind wounds him when they become oblivious to what he has done for them throughout his passion, death, resurrection, and sending of the Holy Spirit. When I pray the rosary, it's an attitude of gratitude. When I wear my scapular and I kiss it in those moments, it's an attitude of gratitude that is acting out. It heals, or comforts, I should say, the wounds that Christ has from so many in the world who don't even believe that he exists, and that's happening more and more in the world. What is it, 70% of young people under 25? 70% say that they don't believe in God. A little less than that, Catholics don't believe in the real presence of Christ. Why? Oh, many reasons. I've already named most of them. We are distracted by so many things. We are to be focused, though, on the presence of God in us. I respect others because we see Christ in them. We know he has a sense of humor when we see certain people, but we still say, I see Christ in them. I pray for them. I don't curse them. I do what I can for people, especially meritoriously, to do something for someone without expect anything in return. Well, as the saintly Sonia was told, God does everything. All we have to do is enter into the rhythm of his sacramental plan. To go and teach all nations, says the Lord, for I am with you always until the end of the world. And your life and how we comport ourselves might be the only gospel people experience.